It has been a tough time for God's people. They have been made slaves by the Egyptians, and things have got worse and worse. They have even been killing all their baby boys amongst the Israelites to keep the numbers down. But God had promised to rescue them. He had said that he would get them out of Egypt and he would bring them into their own land to live in. But the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, he just kept on saying no. No, they weren't going to be allowed to leave. He made things even worse and kept on saying no. Now, God would no longer be God if he didn't keep his promise. God would no longer be God if Pharaoh could stop God doing what he said he was going to do. So God has sent a series of plagues upon upon Pharaoh and the people to get Pharaoh to change his mind and to say that the people could leave. They could leave for their own country. The cubs this week have been busy with some pictures along the side there. Jonathan, would you just come out? Would you just come and read each of those? Start with this first one here. That's the first plague. Which is that one? What does it say there? Plague of blood. Right. So all the water in Egypt was all turned to blood. They wouldn't have had anything to drink. It was a terrible, terrible thing. But Pharaoh just said no. And the next one? Right, there we are. There's some frogs that the cubs have drawn for us. Keep going. Gnats, right, okay, there we are. Can we have the picture of the gnats up on the screen? Yep. And then flies, right? The whole place covered with flies. Still Pharaoh is saying no. All right, plague upon all their animals, all their farm animals died. Right, where's the plague of boils? Can we have that on? Oh, right. Really nasty boils on everybody. Plague of hail, right? And that all the crops got crushed by a plague of hail. Okay, the locusts came in and they ate up everything that was still left that was green. And yet still Pharaoh said no. His people were suffering terribly, but that didn't matter. He was not only saying no to Moses, he was saying no to God. Yeah. Plague of darkness. Okay, thank you. We'll save that last one for in a minute. There we are. Plague of darkness. Now, the Egyptians, they worshipped the sun god. So a plague of darkness for 3 days, thick darkness, that was pretty much a pretty big defeat for the gods of Egypt. In fact, Pharaoh said to Moses, the leader of the Israelites, he said no. He said, actually, I don't want to even see you again. The next time I see you, you will be a dead man. So God said to Moses, I'm going to bring one more plague upon Pharaoh. And after that, he will let you go. In fact, he will be desperate for you to leave. Anyone tell me what that last plague was? Yes, Jakey. Yeah. That's right. A plague of death would pass over the land, and the firstborn son in each Egyptian family would die. A terrible plague. Although there is a sort of justice about it, because that is what Pharaoh had been doing to the Israelite baby boys. And after that final plague, Pharaoh would let them go. We've been hearing in the book of Exodus that God's justice and rescue, they always go together. All through the Bible, God's judgment and rescue belong together. Well, here is God about to rescue his people, about to set them free from slavery, and at the same time, he's acting in judgment upon Pharaoh, who kept on saying no to God. Rescue and judgment together. In fact, it's rescue by judgment. When will Pharaoh let them go? Pharaoh will only let them go when his power is broken. Rescue can only happen when the power of the oppressor is broken. That's God's pattern. And it's what was happening when Jesus died. Jesus' death was not a defeat, but a big victory. There's a verse in the New Testament which says this, that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Jesus' death is an unlikely victory, a victory over the devil, so that people could be rescued, so that people like you and I could be set free from his grip. It's rescue by judgment. Just as the power of Pharaoh must be broken before the people can be set free, so the power of Satan must be broken, so people like you and me might be set free from his grip. So there is the last plague, that last plague by which Pharaoh's power would be broken. But what about the Israelites? How are they going to escape this plague? Interestingly, it says this plague that God himself comes and he says, I will pass through Egypt. Well, the Israelites had not always treated God as they should have done. None of us have. So how will they escape this last plague? We're going to hear about it in a moment. We're going to sing another song, and then we'll read in our Bibles how they will God will generously give them a way to escape.
The reading is from Exodus chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor. Having taken into account the number of people there are, you are determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat.
The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the doorframes of the houses where they eat the lambs. That night they are to eat meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs, bread made without yeast.
Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover.
On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will ever touch you when I strike Egypt.
So here is God giving the people of Israel a way to escape this final plague. And he tells them a number of things that they're to do, isn't it? What's the first thing that they are to do? What's the first thing they're to do? Yes? They're to get a lamb, aren't they? Yes, that's right. They're to choose a lamb. And what are we told? We're told some things about the lamb that they are to choose. Yes, okay, they have to make sure that they have enough either for their own family or share it with a neighbouring family. Yeah, okay. But what are they told about? Yes, Daniel. It has to be 1 year old. Yes, what else are we told about this lamb? Is there I can see a lamb being held up there. Or is it a lamb? No. Are you answering my question, King? No, right. Yes, go on. It has to be a male, that's right. And what else are we told? Yes, Jakey. Can't have any defects, that's right. Nothing wrong with it. Now, our beavers have been busy this past week making some lambs, some sheep for us. Let's have a look. That's what they had to do. They had to search through the whole flock to find a one-year-old male without any cuts or bruises to it or anything like that. And then what did they have to do? Yes, that's right. They had to kill it, didn't they? Had to kill it, first of all, and then they had to paint some blood onto the door frame. That's what they had to do. Paint the blood of the lamb around the door frame. And then what did they have to do once they'd done that? That'll do. Great. Well done. Just pop it there somewhere. Thank you. What did they have to do then? Cook the lamb. They had to roast it, didn't they? And then they had to sit down and eat it. And how did they have to eat it? What are we told about the way that they had to eat it? That's right. They had to eat it in haste. They had to shove it in their mouths. Just the sort of things your mum and dad tell you not to do, not to eat too quickly. They had to do it quickly. They had to eat it in haste because this was going to be the night when the plague of death would pass over the land, over the whole land. Let's see what God says there, verse 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. And when Moses repeats the instruction to the people, just a bit further on, verse 22, he says, not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. In other words, make sure you shelter under the blood. Make sure that you take cover under the blood that has been shed. And so we read verse 29 here, at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. It was bad news, wasn't he, Pharaoh? Bad news to be belonging to Pharaoh and under his rule. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. There was a death in every household that night. In some, it was the lamb who was killed, and in others, it was the firstborn son. Just imagine waking up the next morning. If you're a firstborn Israelite, the plague has passed over the land, judgment has come, but you're still alive. And then you look in the waste bin, and there are the bones of the lamb that has been killed and eaten. It's very clear, isn't it? That lamb has died instead of you. The plague of death has seen the blood, the life given up, and has passed over. You are spared by the death of another. It is rescue by a death. And that's a picture of God's greatest rescue of all. When Jesus died, it was instead of you and me. He was taking the plague, the penalty, instead of people like you and me. No wonder John the Baptist sees Jesus and he says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Apostle Paul talks about Christ, our Passover Lamb, who has been sacrificed. And no wonder Peter says, speaks of the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus was the perfect one. He lived a perfect life, completely obedient to God. And that's the sort of substitute that we need before a holy God. Only the perfect one, only one who doesn't deserve judgment himself, can take the judgment for those who do. But we must do what the Israelites did. Do you remember what Moses said? Not one of you is to go out of the door of his house until morning. Like them, we must take shelter under the blood of the Lamb. We must come to Jesus and find refuge in his death, just as they took refuge under the blood over their door frame. In just the same way. And I wonder if they thought to themselves, "Well, I don't have to do it yet. There's plenty of time." And when the plague of death came, it was too late. Or maybe they were too busy doing other things and they just never got around to it. See, God's rescue needs to be received. The only place of safety is in Jesus, relying on him instead of ourselves, coming under the shelter of his death for us. If you haven't done that, I wonder if you're ready to admit that you need God's rescue. Are you ready to humbly come to Jesus as your substitute? He's the shelter we need from the judgment that's coming.